The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered Jesus, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Amen. To you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I went moose hunting. No secret. I've been going every year now. And every year, there's been no moose. But like Ahab chasing the whale, I don't give up. So loaded up the truck, headed up north, moose hunting. Now we moose hunt as a group. You know, we share and share alike. This year, after 7 bad years of no moose, our group of 5 shot 2 moose. Finally, that which I have been waiting for, spending untold dollars to chase, hope, and want, just some simple moose meat, has been realized. But then as I'm looking at these 2 moose hanging in the trees, and they're very big animals once you get them in the air, I started to worry that I needed a new deep freeze. That which I wanted, I could not contain. I was ill-prepared for that which I was working for. But I guess the old saying is true, if you pray for a miracle, you better expect it. If you pray for rain, carry an umbrella. Then last week, I came back to church. And I came to the door and I quickly turned left to our new kitchen and fellowship area. And it was not completed. Wires were hanging from the ceiling. Ovens were not installed. Sinks were not running. Tools and materials were everywhere. And I started worrying. In 7 days we have a supper. We've invited the whole cities of Battleford and North Battleford to come. I've written invitations. What are we going to do? Are we just going to have a box of K-Fry and a thing of potato salad for people? This concerns me. And so I worried. I'm concerned. This morning I was in the shower. At some point between, you know, washing my hair or whatever I'm doing in the shower, I started worrying that while I was gone, my tree was dropping leaves, conspicuous, huge piles of leaves. And they were slowly blowing onto my neighbor's yard. And I was worried what she was thinking of me. Was I a horrible neighbor? Was I a lazy husband? Did I not own a rake? And I found myself worrying. A month ago, I talked about 500 sweaters. They were a little slow in coming in. And I started to worry. Could we not reach 500 sweaters? Was the goal that we agreed on, that God put before us, unattainable? Would we experience failure? Would the failure be ours? Or would we blame God? And I worried. And the more I think about this, the more I realize how much I worry. I worry about all sorts of things. I worry about my health, and I worry about the church, and I worry about the budget, and I worry about my leaves and my deep freezes and my vehicles and the bills that need to be paid and all the things that have to happen and the events that are coming up and the communication and emails that are unanswered and the visits that don't happen. And I worry and I worry and I worry. And I think maybe in some small part the same is true for you. That you worry. When you come to the doors of this church, when you gather here on Sunday morning, we gather as people who are weary from worrying. Worrying about our health and our children and our safety and our lives and our retirement and our things and our deep freezes and our leaves and our... whatever you name it. We are beaten down by the burden of worry. It consumes us. It steals our time. Our time with our family and our friends, our time at work, our time of leisure. Whenever we have a moment, we're driving in the car, we're brushing our teeth, we're making soup, we find ourselves worrying about something. And it erodes us. It's corrosive. Because worry doesn't create anything. Worry doesn't build anything. Worry doesn't hope for anything. Worry doesn't do anything. Worrying about my leaves won't rake my leaves. Worrying about a kitchen being completed won't complete the kitchen. Worrying about bills to be paid won't pay the bills. You know what fixes these things? Raking leaves. Finishing the kitchen. Paying the bills. Buying a deep freeze. The worry itself accomplishes nothing. It's energy, it's emotional capital that is expended to no purpose. It keeps us up at night. It affects our health. It's detrimental to our relationships. But it does nothing. It just usually creates more worry, more anguish, more doubt, more heartache. But it does not build. It does not lift up. It does not inspire. It does not bring joy, peace, or happiness, those gifts of the Spirit that we always talk about. Worry. We are weary of worrying. That's how we come together. That's how we gather here. And today we have these words of Christ from the Gospel. To us, Jesus says, if you are my disciples, you will hear my word, and that word is the truth, and that truth will set you free. But set us free from what? Sin, death, and the devil? Is this freedom that Christ talks about simply a ticket into heaven? Well, Jesus, what about life here and now? What about for those of us with mortgages? Those of us with leaves on the grass? Those of us with children in school? What about your gospel message for us right now? Don't tell me it happens when I die, Christ. Tell me how my life is improved by your truth right now. If you, my disciples, hear my word, you hear the truth, and it will set you free. Jesus Christ sets us free from worry. The ministry of Christ, the gospel of Christ, the testimony of Christ, the cross of Christ, the empty tomb of Christ, all points to one big message, that God is in charge. That worry doesn't solve anything. Worry doesn't magically make things go away. Worry doesn't change the course of human history. Worry does nothing. But the minute that I realize that I am not the center of the universe, that I am not in charge, that I'm not in charge of this church, that I'm not in charge of my family, that I'm not in charge of my community, that God is in charge, I start standing up more straight already. Because the weight of the world is not holding me down. I am free. I am free to live. I am free to laugh. I am free to experience joy in every moment. I am free to think and to love and to forgive and to experience. Because I'm not burdened by the weight of worry. God is in control. It is God that saved the world. It is God that created the world. It is God that has promised the new world. My job, to simply get on board. To simply be in the footsteps of God. To be a disciple of Christ that he talks about. To be one who lives a life that is set free, not burdened. With a knowledge that, you know what, if I fail as a preacher or a minister or a pastor, that doesn't mean God fails. What God wants to do, God will do. God will use a different church or a different person or a different group of people, but God will accomplish that. So I'm free to simply try and do the best that I can do, not burdened with the worry of how have I failed, because God's ministry will be fulfilled. The empty tomb tells us that. If I fail, God's still moving forward. Creation is still moving forward. The world is still moving forward. So why do I worry so much, like I am in control? Because I'm not. God is in control. God has brought us together. God has gifted us together. Why did I feel bad if we didn't collect 500 sweaters? They're not my sweaters. It's not my ministry. I have no people in Syria. This is God's work. We prayed. We committed ourselves. We brought sweaters. I brought 20, you brought 15, someone brought 3, together. Like 650 if we're just clicking the clock probably. People are probably sneaking them up here as I'm talking. Because this is God's work. And you know what? If we didn't get enough sweaters here at Zion Lutheran Church, North Battleford, then Augustana Church in Saskatoon would have had more than enough. And if they didn't get enough, then Melville Church would have had more than enough. And if it wasn't then the Calgary Church would have had more than enough. But God's ministry would have been fulfilled. And that frees me. In my daily life with people, if I fail, their success, their lives and their happiness is not dependent on me. Because I overstate my importance. I overstate myself as being the center of the universe. I overstate myself as being the God of my family, the God of my marriage, the God over my children, the God of my neighborhood. So I have to be involved in everything. I have to improve of everything. I have to see to everything. I have to be at everything. Because without me, the world won't function. But guess what? Once I realize that, hey, God is the head of my family. God is the head of my marriage. God is over me and my children. God is over my community and my friendships. That I'm equal with you. I'm serving with you. I'm loving with you. I'm praying with you. I'm being with you. I'm rejoicing with you. But I'm not bound by worry. Because our success, your success, my success is joined together in this greater universe of God. This is the power of Reformation Sunday. The story of the Reformation. Martin Luther in 1517, this monk in this backwater German town no one's ever heard of, walks up to a door of the church cathedral and pounds in 95 theses, areas of debate with the Catholic Church. And from this spawns a Protestant revolution shows that when we stumble, when we fail, God works around. The Roman church was corrupt. It wasn't seeing the needs of the people. It was withholding the sacraments. The gospel wasn't preached. So what did God do? God worked around that church. God started something new. And if we fail, if we stumble, whatever it may be, it doesn't mean the ministry of God is over. It doesn't mean Christ has failed. God will start something new. Because we're us and God is God. So I don't worry so much. I'm not burdened so much. When I find myself worrying, when I find myself so burdened, I'm able to quote those words from Martin Luther, pray and let God worry. Because if we live lives as disciples of Christ, then our goals will be godly goals. And godly goals are always fulfilled. Whether it's sweaters for refugees, whether it's for the gospel being proclaimed to the Gentiles, whether it's the knowledge of life after death, God's goals are always fulfilled. And when we set our mind on godly things instead of earthly things, we find ourselves freed from worry. Or as St. Paul would say in today's Romans reading, we are freed from sin. Because if we live lives in bondage to sin, we are really leading lives that are in bondage to earthly things. Things that are consumed by the world around us, our possessions, our influence, our status, our prestige, our vanity. And those things all cause us to worry. Am I rich enough? Am I smart enough? Am I handsome enough? Am I well-liked enough? And that's a full month of worrying right there. Heck, it's a lifetime of worrying. But if we set our mind on godly things, faith, peace, hope, justice, grace, salvation, well, you know what? Those things are happening. Because God is in charge of those things. We don't need to worry. We simply, as disciples, walk in the footsteps of Christ, ambassadors of what has already happened before us. And if we fall and if we stumble, we don't need to worry, because God will not be stopped. This is the Reformation story, that God is reforming the church. The church is us, it's not a building. You are the church, I am the church, and God is reforming, adapting, working, modifying to always overcome the world. If the world puts a speed trap, God goes a different direction. A speed bump, got to go over it. A hole, got to go through it. You name it. That is reforming. Not being stagnant, but always bringing the gospel to us in new and surprising ways. And we are these new and surprising ways. Our neighbors are new and surprising ways. Our workplaces are new and surprising ways. Our marriages are new and surprising ways. The gospel is being lived out. That its transformative power is with us and amongst us. I can stand here today and tell you some musty old sermon about a monk 520 years ago. But that's not the Reformation story. The Reformation story on this Reformation Sunday is that God is moving forward and God is pulling us with Him. God will not be stopped. The world threw its best at him. It ridiculed him. It tortured him. It imprisoned him. It tried to kill him. But God rose. And like Mary Magdalene standing outside Jesus' tomb on the day of the resurrection, when Jesus says to her, "Mary, what are you doing? Looking for the living among the dead." The same is true for us. If we focus our lives on dead things, things of sin, things that cause us to worry, because if you're worried, you have no concern for your neighbor, you have no concern for your wife, you have no concern for your community, your children, your co-workers. Why? Because your heart is turned inward, your thoughts are all about yourself, and you are dead. But if you focus on that which is living, that which grows and that which multiplies, peace, hope, joy, love, faith, you are always growing. You are always living and you are always reforming and transforming, because you are living a life that is free. That is freedom. You are not in bondage to anything, because nothing has power over you. Nothing controls your marriage, your family, your relationships, your love, your life, but God. And that is the radical freedom of the gospel. It's not about rules. It's not about expectations. It's not about stone tablets. It's about love. The love that Christ has shown to us and to the world. We are called to live that love out. The story of the Reformation is not a story of history. It's a story of the future. It's a story of the here and the now. And ultimately, it's a story of love. Amen.